Sometimes I wonder how deep is real love. Why would a king want to shed his own blood and pay for the sins of a sin-sick world? I've never understood that makes me love him more and more. I just love him more and more. He has forgiven me
message from the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to bring you an outline this morning. I'm just going to give you a few thoughts right quickly and talk about the greatest rescue worker. The greatest rescue worker is Jesus Christ. He came to me, the song says, when I could not come to where He was. He came to me. Oh, thank God this morning we have one that rescued us. Colossians chapter 1, a great verse in verse 14. If you have a Bible that changes the way this reads, you've got a wrong Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. The modern versions of the Bible leave out the reference to the blood in this verse, many of them. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. The preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Look at that in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He came and got us. We couldn't go where He was, so He came where we were to take us where we couldn't go without Him. He came and rescued our soul. He came this morning. I'm just going to bring you a little brief message here. I ain't got my little mic on, so I'm going to have to try my best to get stuck to this one. But I want to tell you what this morning, friends. He is the rescuer. He is the deliverer. He is the one that can come and help you where you are this morning. You know, somebody wrote the greatest words about Jesus Christ. They said in infancy He startled a king. In boyhood He puzzled the doctors. In manhood He walked on billows and told the sea waves to lay down and go to sleep. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charges for His services. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries in the world cannot hold the books that could be written about Him. He never wrote a song, and yet He's furnished a theme of more songs than all the subjects in the world put together. He never founded a college, yet all the schools put together cannot boast of as many students as He had. Great men have come and gone, yet He lives on. Death could not destroy Him. The grave could not keep Him. Hell could not lay hold on Him. Brother, He's the God-man. He's the God-man that came down in flesh to rescue my soul. I'll never forget that night at Nebo Baptist Church when I, as an 18-year-old boy, lost without God, no hope. I remember they was talking about pulling that cusser out of that fellow me to go. I remember trying to quit cussing one time. I'd started cussing as a teenager, and I said, I'm going to quit this. I'm not going to say another cuss word. And when them boys, me and somebody said, we're not going to say another bad word. It wouldn't be 15 minutes. one of them would come out. You know why? Because you can't put the cap on it out here and stop it from coming. It's in here. Whatever's in here is going to come out. That night the Lord Jesus Christ came down. That night He reached down and grabbed me and rescued me from danger and gave my heart a bath and gave me a blood transfusion, and immediately, subconsciously, it just goes away. I tell you what, He is the rescuer. He rescues those on drugs, those on alcohol, no matter what your sin is, no matter what your problem is. It's Him that can help you this morning. You know, a lot of folks are real messed up on the Bible and about creation and how we got here. They believe we came from monkeys. They believe there is no God. You know, if you believe that, there's nobody to rescue you. There's nobody to help you when it comes time to die. There's nobody to help you get over your sins that you can't quit. Last night, I was telling my girl's Bible story. And I'd been up here till late. We prayed up here last night. I went home about 10 o'clock. And they were, of course, you know, running around through the house and everything. I got Chris and Corey, and they both... One said, "I won't sleep with you, Daddy." And I said, "I won't sleep with you." Corey always sleeps with me. But Chris has started begging too. I said, "All right, girls, let's go." I said, "Both of you need to go brush your teeth. And then I'm going to tell you a story." And so, as I always tell Bible stories, you know, we got our Bibles there. They both had to have a Bible. And so, Corey went down and got a little Bible. Chris had a Bible. I got in the middle of the bed. They got on both sides of me. I started telling them, reading them. I said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." They both knew that verse, you know, they quote that verse. I said, "The earth was out form and void, darkness on the face of the deep." But anyway, I was going to tell them about a creation and Adam and Eve. And I always start my Bible stories like this. "Well, girls, a long, 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 long time ago." That's why I always tell them. In the Bible. And I say, if I say in the Bible, that means it's true. It really did happen. All them stories in the Bible happened. It was a long time ago. I said, long, 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 long time ago in the Bible. God made the world. God made stars. God made planets. God made the moon. God made everything. God made everything. And I said, you know what God did? He made this. And He made that. He made the other. He made the other. He made the other. He made the other. And I said, and on the fourth day, God done the sun, made the sun, something like that. And on the fifth day, and I said, you know what God done on that last day? You know what He made? And Corey was in this little giggling mood for some reason. And she looked up and she said, "Monkeys!" And just they both just started dying laughing. And I said, "No, not monkey." And I thought, well, she's an evolutionist right there. She's an evolutionist. I'm some dumb scientist that believed that, that's been to college for 8 years. Amen. I said, "No, He didn't make monkeys. He done had them monkeys made." And they started giggling. I said, "Now, you just be quiet. I ain't going to tell you no story. If you don't quit interrupting me." "No, He didn't make them. It's just a giggling." And I said, "He took some dust like this, and He made man, and He formed this man out here, and He laid him down there." God reached over and goes, and He breathed in that man, and His eyes woke up, and he sat up, and God named him Adam. And he was the first man. And God let Adam name all them animals and call them whatever He wanted to call them. And then one day God told Adam to go to sleep. And Adam went down, laid down, went to sleep. God took out one of his ribs. I said, "That's one of them bones right here." They both started feeling right here. I said, "Can you feel your ribs?" Of course, they can feel their ribs. They better than I can feel my ribs. And they said, "Yep." I said, "It's one of them little bones right there." God took one of them out. God made a woman there. God made her for Adam and gave her. And her name was, and they both said, Eve. I said, "Right." And then I talked about how that Eve was down there in a tree. I said, "God put one tree down there. And of all the garden all around them, God said you can eat of any tree. You can have anything you want. But don't touch that one right there. That one right there you can't have. That one right there you can't touch because it'll kill you. It'll destroy you." And so they said, I said Eve was down there one day and all of a sudden, poof. There was a voice appeared to her, and that serpent raised up and began to speak. And he said, "Eve, why don't you try about this?" And Eve said, no, God is not going to let us live if we try that fruit." Oh, he said, "Come on, Eve, everybody else is doing it. Why watch you?" And he took him a big bite at it. And I don't know if he really did that or not, but it makes the story good. And he chewed it up and he swallowed it. And he said, see, that didn't hurt me. I didn't die. Come on, try one. And she said, no, God said for us not to touch that fruit, or if we eat it, that we'd die. He said, oh, I've knew people that's eat this for years and it didn't hurt them. Come on, sister. You've been bound up in all that religion long enough. Have a bite. Be liberated. Don't be inhibited by all these old crazy religious beliefs. God, oh, Adam ain't got no right to tell you what to do. Tell him to jump in the lake. Get you a bite of the fruit. And boy, finally Eve ate the fruit. She gave to Adam. He ate the fruit. And sin got in their bloodstream. It's just like contaminated blood running up and down through their veins there. And God came down. He said, Adam, where are you? And Adam had to come out and face God. And brother, God told Adam, he said, Adam, because you've sinned, he said, you're going to have to work and make your living by the sweat of your brow. And Adam said, God, she gave it to me. God turned to the woman. He said, Eve, because you've sinned, you're going to have to bear children with pain. And it's going to hurt. And you're going to think you're going to die when your children are born. And you're going to have to suffer in childbirth because you've sinned. And then he turned to the serpent and he said, you're going to crawl on your belly the rest of your life, all of your days. By the way, when you find the serpent in the millennium, he's still on his belly. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. This curse even stays on the serpent, even when the curse is lifted off the rest of the creation. I'm telling you, a curse came on this world, and Adam and Eve got drove out of the garden, and brother, it's what they call paradise lost. And they drove out of there, and God put the sword up there and said, you cannot come back in here. I'm holy, you're unholy. I'm righteous, you're unrighteous. Stay out of here. But God made one promise to Eve before she left. He said, Eve, I want to tell you something. There's going to be a rescue worker come down one day. He said, there's going to be a seed of the woman. And he said, the serpent's going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise the serpent's head. And he said, he'll come. And sure enough, 4,000 years later, on the Judean hillside, a man stepped out. John the Baptist looked up and he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The rescuer came to lift that curse that came on Adam and Eve back there. You know what he done? He lived a 3.5 year perfect life. Never committed one sin. They put nails in his hands, nails in his feet. His blood interposed itself for our sins because we got contaminated blood. He gave us a blood transfusion. He gave us a heart transplant. He rescued our soul from the jaws of the lion. You know something? Listen, there ain't a bit of difference in anybody in this church in here except some of you's been rescued by the Lord and some of you have not been rescued. The only difference between people in this church in the morning is not little, big, old, young, rich, poor, black, white, nice car, sorry car. That's not the difference in here. The difference in here this morning is Jesus has rescued some and some have not yet been rescued. He rescued my soul. He rescued my soul. Listen to me this morning, friend. We need to learn to realize that He's the pilot. His name is above all name. He is that seed of the woman prophesied in the Old Testament. He is that Passover lamb. And God told Abraham, He said, God will provide Himself a lamb, the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. He's the star of Jacob, the prophet likened to Moses. He's the, you know, do you see the sign nowadays? Jesus is the reason for the season. He's the reason for all seasons. And especially somebody from the ACLU or somebody, one of those liberals not long ago said, oh my goodness, these Christians are even trying to get in Christmas nowadays. How dumb can you get, brother? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there wouldn't be no Christmas. There wouldn't be no reason. 'Tis the season to be jolly. And brother, it's cause God sent His Son to rescue you, our soul from danger. You can't rehabilitate a sinner. He'll still be a sinner. You can put him clothes on. You can give him a nice car to drive. You can build him an apartment complex and put carpet down on the floor and give him a color TV and change his environment and raise his standard of living. And you'll go back 6 months later and brother, the TV will be on dirty movies and the carpet will be ripped up and beer cans will be in the backyard. You cannot rehabilitate a sinner. They need rescued. They need rescued. I don't know about you this morning, but I feel like maybe somebody's here today. You know what you need? You just need a new heart. You need God to clean your heart out. You say, Brother Danny, I've tried and tried and tried to do right, and it seems like every time I try, I just fall back down. You cannot live for God in your own strength. It cannot be done. You can't do it. You must do it in His strength. You cannot live for God. You cannot live for God just trying, trying, trying to do right. You know something this morning? I'm not trying to be a castle. I can't help but be one. I am one. I was born in the castle family. And no matter how hard I try, I can never get rid of being born into that family. And did you know what? You don't. I ask somebody, are you saved? Are you a Christian? And they'll say, I'm trying to be. You don't try to be a Christian. You either are one or you're not one. You're not saved by trying. You're saved by trusting. You're not saved by living right. You're saved by believing in the only one who ever did live right. And that rescues your soul. You understand that? You say, well, what about me, preacher? I've been saved and then I went back and messed up. Your rescue worker's right beside you right now. And he's right in your heart right now. And he's willing to change your life. He's willing to put you back on track. He's willing to straighten you up. He's willing to put you back on the battlefield. He's willing to put you back on the firing line. The greatest rescue worker that's ever been. I appreciate heroic rescuers. I appreciate firemen. I appreciate policemen. Don't you? Buddy, if you want a job, these state patrolmen and stuff, people say, oh, I got it made. Hey, they don't know from one day to the next when some nut's going to blow their head off. I think they ought to give every one of them a loaded gun and double their salary. Amen, brother. I mean, they're out there protecting our lives, man. I appreciate firemen. I appreciate these rescue workers. I appreciate doctors and nurses that come to our rescue when we need them. And you know who I appreciate most of all? I appreciate the Lord because He's here right now to clean your heart up. Clean your heart up right now. Right now! The greatest thing that's ever happened to you can happen to you this morning. Let Him rescue you. Let Him rescue you. Let's stand and bow our heads. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. He who rescued me from danger interposed His precious blood. I feel like somebody's here this morning. This service was just for you. You got all that old stuff in your heart. All them old sins inside you. And you've tried everything in the world trying to get better. And you can't get better. Is God dealing with you? Is He? Why don't you let Him rescue you this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. Why don't you come to the altar and let Him save you? Will you do that? Thank God for these that's already coming this morning. There might be somebody else. You say, preacher, I believe God just brought me here to this service to hear this morning. I needed to hear that He can help me. He can help you, friend, if you'll come to Him. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in this service this morning. Only You can do it, Lord. We can't. We can't change a person's life. Lord, You can. I know You can. I pray that You'd do it. I pray that You'd do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Don't let that person, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl walk out these doors until they know that things are right. In Jesus' name, amen.